Joe,
what's going on, Lee?
Not a lot. How you doing?
Good. Happy to be here.
I am happy you're here. Well, welcome everybody to Unscripted Violence. This is Stagger Lee along with producer Joe. And I don't have much news to share with everybody. So what do you say we get into the revolution?
That sounds good.
All right. I didn't catch the pre-show. I don't know if you did.
I did. I'll give you a quick rundown of the pre-show. It started off with legit Layla Hirsch versus Chris Statlander. The only thing I don't have is times for this. It was physical for a pre-show match. Good match to open the night. And what I liked about it was a feud on TV that had been on TV for several weeks and paid off on the pay-per-view. The only real thing of note was Layla Hirsch used a turnbuckle. Like, she found a spare turnbuckle under the ring and used it as a weapon. Following this, there was a video package for the dog collar match. And I'm including all promos because, like I said on the Working Fans podcast, the buy-in is ideally a pre-show and is supposed to entice you to buy the pay-per-view. And I thought they did a good job leading into it. This was followed up by Tony Schiavone in the ring. He announces a special interview. You see Kenny Omega on the Titantron. You hear his music. And then you see Don Callis come out. And he basically just cut a promo. It sounded like just to keep Kenny in your mind, since he hasn't been on TV for a while and they've had so many new acquisitions come in. This really felt like a way for us to remember Kenny. This was followed up by a Danielson Moxley promo video getting us hyped for that match. The second match on the pre-show was QT Marshall versus Hook. And QT comes out with a lot of attitude, really kind of pushing Hook around. And the only advantages he got in this match were when he did underhanded tactics. But Hook handled him beautifully, won. I thought they kept Hook looking strong and good placement on the card. This was followed by a video package for Adam Page and Adam Cole, you know, getting us more hyped for that match. The final match on the pre-show was Malakai Black, Buddy Matthews, and Brody King versus Pac, Penta Oscuro, and Eric Redbeard. Fast start to this match. Redbeard versus Brody King was a good big man matchup that I hope they revisit eventually. And this is another match where the rivalries culminated on the pay-per-view. Malakai Black, Buddy Matthews, and Brody King won this. And they ended the pre-show with a video package with the commentators running down the card.
Excellent. And that was all on the pre-show, huh?
Yep.
Okay, excellent. Well, we started off Revolution with quite a match. Chris Jericho versus Eddie Kingston. I was excited for this one. Kingston exploded right after the bell with a half and half suplex. It looked like a nasty landing for Jericho on that one.
Everything about this match just screamed classic Japanese match. Like, the suplexes, it looked like they were dumping each other on their necks. When you saw chops in the corner, they were brutal. This is different from almost any type of match I think I've seen Jericho have in AEW so far.
Yeah, it was. It was a unique match. Very, like you said, very. It was very hard-hitting and very violent. I enjoyed it.
Yep,
I thought it was amazing. The whole story of the match had me going the whole way through. When Jericho was going for the knockout with his back elbow, but he got two back fists from Kingston. Then Kingston locked in a stretch plum and got the tap out of that, and after the match, Jericho did not shake Kingston's hand. As he just stared at him, shook his head, and rolled out of the ring, which got a lot of heat. But this was, I thought, was an incredible match.
Yeah, Kingston got the win in 14-12. All our times are according to cagematch.net. And I thought this was a good way to kick off the main show.
It really was. And it gave you a preview of how the show was pretty much going to go throughout the whole night. The next match we had was for the AEW Tag Team Championship. It was Jurassic Express versus Red Dragon versus the Young Bucks. What did you think about this match?
I thought it was a good follow-up to the... Sorry, I had to cough there. Good follow-up to the opener. I'm not terribly excited about Jurassic Express, but them versus the Bucks versus Red Dragon, it was a wild match. I didn't have really any notes because it just seemed like there was something going on every couple minutes.
Yeah.
I had hoped Red Dragon would take the win, but it wasn't to be.
No. I really thought Red Dragon was going to take it as well. I really liked the match as far as the Young Bucks and Red Dragon working together on Jurassic Express the whole time. And then finally it came down to Red Dragon and the Young Bucks having to face each other, which made it really cool. There was just a lot of big moves, big things happening, but ultimately the Jurassic Express defeated Red Dragon and the Young Bucks to retain the titles in the end.
Jungle Boy was a standout in this match, as always.
He really was. He did a great job, I think. Jurassic Express pulling that one out.
Yeah.
Actually
followed this up with an announcement. May 25th in Vegas is going to be Dynamite. May 27th is going to be Rampage. I assume it's going to be a live Rampage because May 29th is Double or Nothing. Big announcement for this. This tends to be one of their two big events. So I feel like everything's going to be leading to this now.
Yeah. That's going to be a real big week for wrestling. And I'm expecting big things out of all those shows. And I think that AEW will not disappoint us in that.
Now they followed that announcement with a video promo for the Face of the Revolution ladder match. And they did that with a lot of matches on this show. It seemed like they would play a video promo to get you hyped for it, and then you'd see the match.
Yeah.
The next match was Christian Cage versus Ricky Starks versus Wardlow versus Powerhouse Hobbs versus Keith Lee versus Orange Cassidy in the Face of the Revolution ladder match. And I really enjoyed this match. You saw American Top Team in the stands. I think it lived up to the hype. I really like the spot where Hobbs and Wardlow both grabbed the ladder and they broke it into two halves.
Yes.
That was a pretty cool spot.
That was awesome. Yeah. I was very happy to see the confrontations between the three big men in this, between Wardlow, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Keith Lee. They didn't disappoint at all. I was kind of worried that Starks might win it at one point, but he did not.
No, I think the biggest news coming out of this was Orange Cassidy got injured.
Yeah, it was. Wasn't it off of that the dive he did into onto the outside?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, I think that's where he got injured. So, what we had basically was, well, then we had, when Starks almost had the match won, Danhausen jumped in the ring to interfere. And he knocked Starks from the ladder. But Wardlow hit Starks with a power bomb off of one ladder onto another before he climbed up to grab the ring and win the match. And there was so much going on in this match that kept me excited. I loved the ending, and I loved that Wardlow was the winner in the end.
Yeah, Wardlow won it in 18-18. And so far, this had been, like, all the matches had gone pretty long. Like, the match before this went 19 minutes and 11 seconds.
Yes.
So, they really, like, this was a stacked pay-per-view. And this match really, I thought, lived up to the hype.
It did.
Following this, we had Tony Schiavone on the ramp announcing the signing of Swerve. And that was something that, I mean, we all pretty much had a feeling about, but it was good to finally see it get mentioned.
Right.
And then the match after this was Jade Cargill versus Ty Conti for the AEW TBS Championship. Really, I mean, the only kind of lull in the show, if you had to pick one. I almost thought this should have gone on the pre-show and you should have had Statlander and Layla Hirsch on the main show.
Definitely. I was not too impressed with this match at all. It was for lack of a better word, it kind of bored me.
Yeah, I mean, the most notable things, Jade Cargill came out dressed as Jade from Mortal Kombat and was played to the ring by Kingfish, who apparently plays her music theme. The biggest note, Jade and the kiss on Ty to begin the match, I think it's going to be her new thing. She says it's the kiss of death. This match went 7:03, and it really kind of had the kiss of death being shoehorned between the Face of the Revolution ladder match and the dog collar match. Because following this match, there was a promo video for the dog collar match, followed by MJF versus CM Punk, the long-awaited dog collar match. This thing was, I think it lived up to everybody's expectations across the board.
Oh yes, this was amazing. From the from the very beginning in the entrances, it was amazing.
Yeah, you hear CM Punk's theme play, and you see it's on the Titantrons and everything, and then MJF comes out. Not even really laughing about pulling one over on the crowd, but walking to the ring determined. And then CM Punk came out to his ROH theme, which was an AFI song, dressed in his ROH gear. Also looking very serious. This thing was treated as serious as it need to be. They both got in the ring, and I mean, they beat the hell out of each other for 26 minutes and 48 seconds.
Yes, and I really enjoyed the finish to this, where MJF was screaming for Wardlow to come out, and of course to give him the diamond ring. Wardlow pats around, acts like he can't find it. After MJF gets distracted, Punk hit the go to sleep. Wardlow then quote unquote found the ring, and he puts it on the apron for Punk to pick up, and Punk knocked out MJF with the punch while wearing the ring, and that was the end of the match there, with Punk winning. And I just can't say enough good things about this match. This took me back to the old days, honestly, of the old dog collar matches you'd see in the NWA and the older promotions that really, this for a gimmick match, this was a great gimmick match, and it wasn't overdone.
No, they definitely, I thought it lived up to expectations. Now, this was followed by Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker video package, which led into Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker for the AEW Women's Championship. And this was another match where, as exciting a match as it was, I feel like it was almost kind of overshadowed by the match before it and the match after it, in a way.
I had the same feeling too. It was a okay match. I hate to say that about a match between Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, because they are both just so damn good. And I don't know what it was. Like you said, it might be because it followed up such an insanely incredible match that we were expecting a little more, or wanting a little bit more excitement. But something did not resonate with me on it.
I mean, I got two theories about it. It's either the placement on the card, or, as we'll find out on Dynamite when we discuss it, they announced a steel cage match for this week coming up. So it's one of those two things that didn't do it. The match went 17:30. Britt Baker won, kind of like I'm sure we expected. And this was followed up by a Danielson-Moxley video package, which led to Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley. This match went 20 minutes and 44 seconds. It was everything I think we wanted. Beautiful back and forth. But it was almost kind of the post-match thing that made more news than the match, I would say.
Oh, yes, definitely. Jon Moxley winning the match, defeating Bryan Danielson. Then they would continue to brawl until William Regal came out and broke up the fight, slapping both men, and then demanded that both Moxley and Danielson shake hands.
And we were excited coming into this about the possibility of Danielson and Moxley teaming, but definitely, now having the two of these guys team and have Regal as the mastermind is so much more interesting. And I had heard this week, I have not checked it out, but apparently Regal has been moved to the roster part of the AEW page.
Really?
I don't know if that means we could get a possible in-ring return. Given his health, I don't know. I don't think it's likely. But just the fact that he's entwined either way with Danielson and Moxley is super interesting.
Yes. I was excited to see William Regal. It was a great surprise to me. And I can't wait to see where he goes from here. He's in the right place whatever he does, you know it's going to be good.
100%.
But following that, we had the AHFO versus Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, and Sting. It was Tornado Rules, basically. This was just chaos from the get-go.
Yeah, I was surprised how late they placed it on the card, but then as the match unfolded, it made more sense. It was, you almost had to have this be a tornado to make it work, I think.
Yeah. We had great moments with Sting and his leap, just for his age to do that.
Yeah, I saw them stacking up the tables in the aisle, and I was wondering who was going to go for it. And then as you see Sting walk up the stairs next to it, I was like, there's no way it's going to...
My cat hit a button.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, picking back up where we left off, it was very surprising to see Sting make the dive. And, I mean, his team got the win in 13:01. So, this was... I was surprised how good this match turned out to be.
Yeah, I was too. I wasn't really expecting a lot out of either teams. And it was just an amazing match to me between both, and it kept me excited. In the end, we had Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, and Sting defeating the AHFO. It's just a great match and exciting the whole way through.
Yeah, now this led into the main event of Hangman Adam Page versus Adam Cole for the AEW Heavyweight Championship. This went 26 minutes, and I don't know what it was, if there was so much on the card, or if it just, I wasn't overly excited for this matchup going in. It was a good main event, but to me, it just felt a little flat compared to, I mean, what we just saw with Sting, the dog collar match, Eddie Kingston. It just didn't have the same level of excitement for me.
Right, and it didn't for me either. And I know that they're putting it in the main event because it is the AEW championship, but this match did not seem like a main event match to me. I don't know if Hangman and Adam Cole are at the level that they should be.
Nah, Adam Page feels like he almost should have been champion like a year ago. And I mean, the buildup was decent for this match, but it could have been longer, could have been better. And I just don't think it captured enough people's attentions. It was a good main event, but it just wasn't, it wasn't something that's going to be remembered as a classic.
Yeah, definitely. But overall, I think that the whole show was worth it.
Overall it was a great pay-per-view. You know, there were a couple like low points, but the high points were high enough that I think they outweighed the other part. So I'm going to give this 4.5 chair shots.
I'm right alongside of you with 4.5 chair shots as well. It would have hit the 5 mark had a couple of those matches not been in there.
Yeah, now the excitement of this pay-per-view led into Dynamite on Wednesday. And we started off with a Chris Jericho in-ring promo. He's calling out Kingston for the handshake he denied him. Kingston comes out and just delivers another great promo, talking about that on that Friday, he didn't want to show up to the pay-per-view. He shut down what chance in the audience beautifully.
Oh, that was real.
Right back with him. And he said that 4 people told him that they didn't kill themselves because of him. So because of that, he was definitely going to show up to the pay-per-view. And he questions what in Jericho made him not want to shake Kingston's hand. Jericho offers a handshake. They shake hands. And then 2.0 and Garcia come out and attack them. And it was questionable because while they were both getting attacked, it seems like Kingston was getting teamed up on way more. Proud and Powerful come out to chase them out. They give Jericho the bat, and then he ends up attacking Ortiz. And then we realize that 2.0 and Garcia are with Jericho. Hager comes in, kind of feigns disbelief at what's going on, and then joins in with the beatdown. which ends with Hager putting Kingston through a table. And now we have the Jericho Appreciation Society.
Yes, and what do you think about this whole...
It was about time that the Inner Circle, they were getting a little stale. People were breaking off anyways. I'm really questioning whether it's Jericho taking on Garcia, or is he attaching himself to another hot new faction in AEW? We're going to have to wait to see how this plays out. I'm interested, but like, I'm a little skeptical right now.
I am too, and I like you said, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see Jericho take the younger guys under his wing and really use it to elevate them, like Garcia and 2.0, and I would really like to see that as well, but like you said, we'll have to wait and see. You just don't know with Jericho anymore.
Yeah, especially at this stage in his career, like, he has a habit of attaching himself to, like, up-and-coming stars, like, the new hot thing. And not being in the business, not knowing Jericho, I don't want to accuse him one way or another. But it's kind of that thing. Are you using your star power to help get them over? Or are you using their notoriety to help get some shine to yourself? Jericho's gotten in better shape. And he looks like he's trimmed up a bit. So I feel like he's doing it to help put over the young guys.
Yeah, I think it'll be good for them, especially Garcia. That's who I really want to see get elevated out of this group.
Yeah, now this was followed up by a CM Punk MJF dog collar match video promo. Because wisely, both guys were not on this show. And that led into the first match of the night. Dante Martin versus Hangman Adam Page for the AEW Heavyweight Championship. And this felt like it was coming out of nowhere until JR let us know that Dante Martin is a number two ranked contender who was 7-1 this year and 18-2 in his last 20 matches.
Yes, it was a well-deserved match for Dante Martin, and Dante had a great showing on it.
Yeah, he's impressive in the ring. I feel like it's almost his last run as a single since his brother came back. But since he's done so good this year, they almost wanted to give him that championship match.
Yeah, and give him that spotlight and say, hey, you've done a good job on your own.
Yeah, because after the match, Shivani's in the ring. Paige calls Dante back into the ring, puts him over. We forgot to mention Adam Page wins this is 7 minutes and 27 seconds.
Yes.
And Adam Cole comes out, interrupts Page putting over Dante, and sets up a 6-man tag match for next week.
And that'll be a good one, I'm sure. After that, we had the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, and Jon Moxley coming out with William Regal, and they were against the Workhorsemen, which is the team comprised of JD Drake and Anthony Henry. I'm not familiar with Anthony Henry.
I was super excited about this match because in the Northeast, I've seen JD Drake and Anthony Henry team as the Workhorsemen many times. So I was excited to see them get billed under their indie team name because JD Drake has recently been, you know, aligned with the Wingmen. So to see him and Anthony kind of teamed up, I hope this is something they continue with. Now, Danielson and Moxley looked good in ring, even though the match was only 4 minutes. They seemed to set up the post-match promo, though, because we knew we were going to see Moxley and Danielson in ring. It was kind of almost a squash match with an upper-level indie talent. But the real highlight of this was William Regal's promo afterwards.
An amazing promo where he started off talking about Tony Schiavone. and how early in his career, how long had it been? 29 years or something?
Yeah, 29 years since Regal had first been on TBS with Tony Schiavone. And he hints that Schiavone did something for him 29 years ago that saved his career. So that's going to be interesting. I think they said it's going to be talked about on the Jericho podcast. So that'll be interesting. But,
yes,
you know, Regal puts over Bryan Danielson as being the wrestler that Regal should have been. And, you know, then talks to Moxley about how he had that friendship later on. This promo felt a little long, a little rambling, but it was amazing. And we did find out it went long later because after the show, William Regal tweeted an apology for going over his time.
I didn't catch that tweet. And then maybe I don't have...
And he basically said that he went over his time. He was sorry to all the talent that it affected. And being his first night in the company, he should, I'm paraphrasing, should like know better and hit his time cues better. And, you know, almost leading by example. So I thought that was a very classy thing to do when I'm sure almost nobody, or I'm not going to say I'm sure, I'd like to think nobody would have really minded since this interview was so good, this promo.
Yeah, I didn't mind. I certainly didn't mind. I enjoyed every bit of this promo. And I just can't wait to see this team move forward and what they're going to do. It's a super tag team.
Oh yeah! Now this was followed by Hangman Page going backstage, the Dark Order's being interviewed. They're kind of asking where they stand with Page. He apologizes to John Silver, and then John Silver instantly tries guessing which two of the Dark Order are going to join him in the six-man tag next week. He says he ran into Jurassic Express. They said they wanted to get their hands on the Bucks. It was awkward, so he agreed to team with them. And kind of keeping that questioning what's going on with the Dark Order and Hangman, but always entertaining seeing John Silver in there.
Yeah, he always... Can make you laugh at least.
Yeah, now this next match was very interesting because I believe it was Excalibur said that they had a standby match since the title match didn't go the full 60. They had Wheeler Yuta versus Pac. And this was interesting because I've heard of standby matches. They were popular in like Mid-South wrestling, but it's typically if your main event doesn't go the whole time.
Right.
I've never heard of a standby match for like the third or fourth match on the card.
That was new to me, but
I didn't have much notes for it. I just had decent mid-card filler match. Always good to see Wheeler Yuta in there, and Pac is just a beast.
Yeah, and he had that. He has the one thing I is his roundhouse kicks. They always get me. How he picked up Yuta with the deadlift, and then he German suplexed him on the mat then ended it with a avalanche brainbuster, and then he locked on the brutalizer and made Yuta tap out.
It was a solid match. Now this was followed up by Adam Cole, Red Dragon, and the Young Bucks backstage on the Cutler cam. I'm glad that they finally kind of named these Cutler segments.
And
the Young Bucks said they were going to be out if Hangman's involved. Cole said he was picking Red Dragon anyways, so we're kind of furthering that dissension there. And this segment was, I would almost say, burying one of the bigger segments on here, where FTR is backstage cutting a promo. Dax is talking about family. And then Telly kind of interjects saying he has a family. And then they fire Tully Blanchard, which I thought was very surprising. There was so much on this card overall that it busted the shuffle.
Yeah, it did. And it was really a profound moment when they said that you're fired to Tully. It shocked me. I wasn't expecting it. And I wonder what is next for Tully, if anything.
Yeah, now they moved right along because the next segment was the AHFO in-ring. And this felt like the night of factions breaking up all across the board because they're taking an in-ring vote whether Matt should be kicked out. You know, he says it's not going to happen because his boys wouldn't vote him out. And then it turns out they give the thumbs down. He gets voted out. He starts getting beat down. And the crowd gets excited. Because, I mean, I think we all made the logical jump in our heads. But Darby Allin and Sting come down for the save. JR notes, though, that they are still one person short. So after a couple minutes, Jeff Hardy runs out, does a swanton, and the Hardy Boys are reunited in AEW.
And I'm definitely looking forward to this. I believe that this went down to the very day that Jeff Hardy was allowed to compete in due to his non-compete clause in his contract. So the day that was up is the day that Jeff arrived in AEW, and he looked great.
Yeah, he looked good in ring. I can't wait to see where the Hardy Boys go from here. This was followed up by Swerve backstage mentioning that his first match is going to be on Rampage. Tony Nese steps up to be the first challenger, references their histories on Fridays, and I thought this was a good setup to Swerve's first match.
It was, and Swerve's an impressive athlete. There's no doubt about it. And after that, Tony Schiavone was in the ring to interview Wardlow, who they are also calling Mr. Mayhem, I've noticed. Wardlow was great in this promo where he explained that he spent much of his life helping someone with their own dreams, and he was expressing how he wasn't looking out to have his own dreams, and how he grew up very poor, and at a young age he knew he wanted to be a pro wrestler because he fell in love with it, and it would enable him, if he became a pro wrestler, to give him and his mother a better life. And then he addresses Jacob Friedman and says, you know, you paid me well, but that doesn't give you a right to threaten my family or to put your hands on me. And he says he's still under contract with them, but he no longer gives a damn. And at Revolution, that was his way of showing that he no longer has Max's back.
And yeah, this was another big one. Like, we had factions breaking up. Wardlow starting to make his breakaway from MJF, but noting that he is still contractually obligated to him. So they are still tied together, but he's kind of making his notice that he doesn't care anymore. So it's like essentially breaking up from MJF without fully breaking up.
Right. And I wonder how they're going to use that, because I don't think they would have mentioned it had it not had a use in the future. If I know AEW, they have a purpose to all these little things that they leave in there or put in there.
Yeah, because, I mean, they've played it up that Wardlow works for MJF, and MJF has given him a lot of opportunities because he doesn't believe that he will make anything of them. So now that Wardlow is declaring himself, I almost feel like this is where MJF is really going to work with kind of fucking with him.
I believe so too. And here, well, he's got that match coming up for the TNT Championship against Scorpio Sky. I could see MJF interfering with that, keeping him from winning the title.
Or maybe he even wins the title and then the title's in dispute, whether it's MJF's or Wardlow's. Maybe that's the pay-per-view match.
They could go that way with it too. So I can't wait to see the future for Wardlow. It's the way they built him has been brilliant. It's been a real slow build. It's almost like they've been building him since day one.
They have. Like, at first, he was very unassuming. I would say for the first year and a half, you could have probably cared less about him.
Right.
And now, the last year and a half, they've really made something of him. Like, one of the big homegrown stars they've had.
Yeah, I think they ought to be proud of themselves for that. They've done just such a good job with him. But after that, we had QT Marshall was backstage with Keith Lee. And QT was basically saying, hey, we got a common enemy. That's Team Taz. And, you know, Factory has your back. And Keith Lee said, I happen to have a very large back, so I'm good. And QT, that set QT off for some reason. And he said, you're going to pay for this. So,
yeah, very interesting to see what kind of revenge QT plans on getting on Keith Lee. And this was followed by, I was surprised, a tag team title match, Jurassic Express versus the Acclaim for the AEW Tag Team Championships. We had had so many segments since the last match was Wheeler Yuta versus Pac.
Yeah.
And there was so much on this show that Jurassic Express versus the Acclaimed was the first time on this show that I kind of had burnout. Because like I said, I'm not a huge Jurassic Express fan. So I kind of felt like a dip in the show here. It was a good enough match. I mean, Jungle Boy will never disappoint in the ring. I like seeing what the Acclaimed do in the ring. Jurassic Express got the win in 9 minutes and 26 seconds, so it was a good match, but like, I think it suffered from what else was on the card and how big some of these announcements were.
True. Yeah, there was just, like you said, there was just so much going on. This match, like an afterthought to everything else. After that, we had a AEW Women's World Championship Eliminator match with the number one ranked Legit Layla Hirsch versus number two ranked Thunder Rosa. This match, to me, as much as I love these two, I wasn't particularly impressed with it.
I was surprised this was on the show, because I think when the Jurassic Express match started, there might have been roughly like a little over a half hour left. So I was like, God, they got to be getting to the main event, right? And then before this match, they had Jade Cargill and Smart Mark Sterling backstage. And I believe this is where Jade Cargill kind of coined the kiss of death. Thunder Rosa won her match in 8 minutes 51 seconds. It was good, but I felt like it almost seemed like it was more setting up the Shivani in-ring afterwards, where he declares that next week is going to be a steel cage match for the women's title in Thunder Rosa's hometown of San Antonio. It feels like they're setting her up for the win. Am I wrong?
That is definitely what I'm getting a feeling of. Usually those cage matches usually favor the person who is the underdog. And I don't see Thunder Rosa as an underdog, but
no, I mean, they had Britt Baker backstage with Rebel and Jamie Hayter kind of putting down her chances, you know, and it feels like they're stacking the deck against her. And AEW is usually good for delivering what you would want to see in somebody's hometown. So everything right now is indicating that Thunder Rosa is going to get the win. We will have to see next week how this actually plays out.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited for a cage match.
Yeah, no. This was followed by the TNT Championship match in the main event. Sammy Guevara versus Scorpio Sky. I was so exhausted by this point. I had to go watch this the next day to fully appreciate it. Because I just feel like there was so much on this show. I forgot this match was coming on when they said it.
Yeah. I don't know. It didn't to me. It didn't feel, once again, the main event did not feel like a main event to me. It was a good match. It was with a surprise ending to it. I was not expecting Scorpio to walk away with the win as he did.
It was a real physical match between the two of them, and I assumed Sammy was going to come out on top. Scorpio got the win in 11:50, and I was very surprised.
Yeah, I was too. I wasn't disappointed. However, I think Scorpio should have been a champion a long time ago. When he won the Face of the Revolution ladder match previous year, because it's like he won that and they didn't do anything more with him. They kind of put him on.
Biggest thing he was a tag champion, and they highlighted that where he's the first AEW tag champion and TNT champion, which to me it almost felt like they were trying to stack accolades on him. It was a good win. He definitely deserves it, but like, I just feel like when you stack a card this heavy, some things are gonna suffer, and to me this felt like it suffered.
Yeah. And after the match, Scorpio Sky, he sort of rammed the new belt into Sammy's head. Paige connected with a high kick to Pai's head. Paige Van Zandt, I'm talking about. And it knocked Ty out. And Paige pulled out her AEW contract and the papers and signed her contract. So we should expect to see Paige Van Zandt on the roster and wrestling. And I'm sort of curious as to how well she's going to do.
Yeah, it was, you know, notable that she finally signed. I want to see who they end up matching her up against.
Right now it looks like Ty Conti.
Yeah, that's definitely a good start.
Yeah, and yeah, definitely. Ty Conti is a great, amazing wrestler, and I think she'd be a great first match for Paige.
Definitely.
This Dynamite had a lot happening on it, like you said. I was giving it 3.5 chair shots for this week, despite the fact that Jeff Hardy came out and everything. That just wasn't enough to go any higher for me.
Yeah, I gave it 4 there was a lot of very notable things happened. You know, if you want to go between the Jeff Hardy signing, William Regal talking, you set up a cage match for next week, you got a new Jericho faction. Actually, I'm gonna dial that back, 3.75, because you had a lot of big things happen, but it almost feels like you put 6 pounds of show into a 5 pound bag. You know what I mean? It felt a little overstuffed.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, overstuffed. It did. It had a lot going on. It was kind of like a whirlwind of things happening. Like a few of the matches, they just didn't hook me in like they usually do every week. So my wrestler of the week is Wardlow once again, simply because I was surprised he did a great promo. I was surprised on how well he did on the mic. And I think he's going to have a great singles career.
That is a good call. I'm going to give my wrestler of the week, not quite a wrestler, but I'm going to give it to William Regal, because what he did with that promo, you know, not only endeared him to us, but it almost made us want to see what's going to happen going forward. We're going to want to tune into the Jericho podcast to see what Shivani did for him years ago. We're going to want to see how he leads Danielson and Moxley and who's going to join his faction. I know Daniel Garcia was one of the people that Bryan Danielson had mentioned by name, and now he appears to be tied up with Jericho. Will he continue there? Will he break off with Moxley and them? I thought Regal did a good thing of, you know, kind of tying up loose ends about his past till now and then setting the future for now going forward.
Yeah, that's a great choice for the wrestler of the week. Yeah, William Regal, he's an incredible, he's been an incredible pro wrestler. He's got an incredible mind for wrestling. He's a great addition to AEW.
Definitely.
Well, the next show that we're going to have, everybody, is going to be on GCW Astronaut, which I'm looking forward to covering.
Yeah, I haven't been able to watch it yet, but I'm looking forward to watching the show and covering it for our fans here.
Yeah, definitely. And once again, I'd like to apologize for you guys about the lateness of this cast. Both Joe and I have had quite the week, to say the least.
Yeah, 2 years into the pandemic, and I finally got COVID. So I'm coming off on the other end of it now and, you know, just starting to feel better.
That's good that you're recovering from it well. And yeah, I was ill. It was not COVID, thank goodness. As you can hear, I bounced back from that. So you guys can expect us to be back on track here at Unscripted Violence. We always appreciate you tuning in. Love all you guys. And anything else you need to add, Joe?
No, that's about it. I mean, check us out over at the Working Fans Podcast if you got any extra time for podcast. Otherwise, can't wait to talk to you again on Unscripted Violence.
And thanks a lot. Good night, everybody.